protected their families. There is isolation, there's self-blame, and there's despair. Every prisoner overseas is someone's son or daughter, is someone's husband or wife. And for us Christians, every prisoner overseas is a brother or sister in Christ. When the family at home gets word of a sibling or friend being arrested abroad, their agony can be intensified by lack of contact. And this is where the working relationships between the Department of Foreign Affairs, the Irish Council for Prisoners Overseas, Irish missionaries, many of whom are here today, and other apostolates can offer comfort and hope to families. The presence of the ICPO reminds all of us that we cannot just exclude or ignore or disregard portions of our population. The ICPO has an important mandate to represent an all too easily forgotten sector of people, namely Irish prisoners overseas and their families. We have all witnessed in our time occasions when powerful political considerations or emotive campaigns obscured the truth and generated outcomes that were damaging to the common good. For example, a few years, 2006 in England, you know, there's a campaign in the media. 1,000 non-nationals were being released from prison, and the recommendation that they should be deported before they ended their sentence back to their countries. What would that mean, say, for Irish prisoners who had lived all their lives in England, be deported back to Ireland at this stage? And thanks to the cooperation and the work of the Department of Foreign Affairs and the ICPO, that mandatory deportation was overturned. So there's just a few examples of what the ICPO can do, or organisations like. The ICPO reminds civil society that this section of the population has rights that cannot be ignored. They ensure that citizens are innocent until proven guilty, and that every support to try and prove their innocence and to argue their case in different jurisdictions. And now I'm suffering the same problem as poor Bishop Higgerton before me. I'm getting direction to...
Just a few more minutes left.
Have I?
Well, 3 minutes.
Well, I just might finish then by just giving you an idea of... well, also, the few points I'm making, the function of the ICPO, they also show how easily the finest principles of democracy and justice can be undermined. And they also are a voice, and it's very often the voice of those who serve the most vulnerable that can remind civil society to refocus its energy on core principles, which is civilized society, and which it functions. So let me finish just by identifying a little bit of the work they do. I think it's enormous for the number we have involved, both that's full-time and voluntary. I'll just read a few, you can read it later in the text. In the year ending the 30th of April, 2010, 452 prisoners from 25 different countries were on the books of ICPO in Ireland. The majority of these, 387, were imprisoned in England and Wales, and a further 200 Irish prisoners were on the ICPO books in London. Between May 2009 and April 2010, London made 150 prison visits to 50 prisons and visited 400 Irish prisoners. Prison visits were also made in the United States and other European countries. The ICPO office in Maynooth received 2,200 case-related contacts from prisoners, families, embassies and other organisations and undertook 2,400 actions on behalf of clients. This equates to nearly 390 contacts or actions per month. The ICPO office in London received an average of 54 phone calls per week relating to prisoners' welfare. It sent out 1,189 letters to prisoners and 465 letters to organisations and individuals. There are over 100 families in contact with the ICPO at any one time. All prisoners on the mailing list received during the year two editions of the newsletter ICPO News, a card with a summary of Irish news at Christmas and St. Patrick's Day. The Irish Immigrant Newsletter is sent to 50 prisoners every month, and the ICPO Penfriend Scheme has approximately 80 volunteers who correspond with Irish prisoners at any one